Thank you for giving me opportunity to this presentation about our status at Japan Atomic Energy Agency, that's JAEA for short, ERLFL. The purpose of my talk is to present our recent development to achieve FEL oscillation with high extraction efficiency. Let me first introduce the configuration and recent upgrade of our FEL. Then let me show you two experimental results associated with energy recovery loop, which consists of two triple bend achromatic arcs. One measurement is performed in the return arc after undulator to measure the FEL efficiency. And in the other measurement, which is performed in the first arc before undulator, we found that the first arc works as a magnetic bunch compression together with off-crest acceleration. In both experiments, we used wire scanners. And finally, my summary is given. The JAEA-FEL has been developed as a high-power FEL based on superconducting accelerator. The electron beam energy is 70 MeV, and the bunch charge is 0.5 nanocoulomb, and the wavelength is around 22 micron. The macropulse length is limited to 1 millisecond, 10 hertz repetition rate because of the lack of refrigerator power for SGA and thin shield of accelerator building for radiation protection. This figure shows the 2.5 original JAEA FEL without energy recovery. The beam is produced from 2.5 MeV injector, which consists of 230 kV DC gun equipped with a thermionic cathode and SHV and two single-cell 500 MHz SCAs. And then the beam from the injector is accelerated to 70 MeV by two five-cell 500 MHz SCAs and is used for FEL. And what we did using this original JAEA FEL without energy recovery is were achieved high FEL efficiency of 6% and then observed FEL oscillation at zero detuning length of an optical cavity and also generated an intense few cycle FEL pulse. Then we developed a high-power FEL, ERL FEL, to increase the laser power and demonstrate technological and industrial profits of ERL FELs. And the injector is the same as before, but we added major chicane and half chicane and return arc to build a 70 MeV energy recovery loop. And we achieved the first rising in 2002. Then we spent 3 years in sweeping or upgrading our ERLs. There are three major upgrades. And the first one is the doubled bunch repetition rate of the GaN grid pulsar to 20.8 MHz. The beam is now doubled to 10 milliamps. And the optical cavity loss is half of that before doubling. And the second is increase of power supplies for injector SGAs to 50 kilowatt to accelerate the doubled beam current. And the last is the doubled energy acceptance of the return arc to 15% by enlarging the bore of quadrupole magnets to recover the beam with large energy spread. And these upgrades are summarized in this afternoon's poster presentation. And here, let me show you two merits of high-efficiency FEL. The FEL power is expressed by electron beam power multiplied by the FEL efficiency. So the high-efficiency FEL saves the total beam current needed for high-power raising, which decreases beam load to various accelerator components and increases wall plug efficiency. And it is also appropriate for generating broadband ultra-short optical pulses. as already shown in our original device. Such ultra-short optical pulses can be used for quantum control of chemical reaction. Now let's move to the FEL efficiency experiment in the return arc. FEL is wavelength is around 22 micron, and FEL is coupled out through a hole in 2 millimeter diameter on the downstream mirror, and its power is measured in the power meter. The efficiency cannot be obtained from the FEL power only, but from the energy shift of the electron beam after shift of the energy centroid, beam energy centroid of the electron beam after undulator. We can measure the beam centroid shift by measuring beam profiles at the dispersive point after undulator. There are several non-destructive beam profile monitors, but we can't. But the synchrotron radiation monitor is not useful at JAEA because its wavelength is longer than 20 micron. And beam position monitor can provide with information on the beam shift, but not on the whole beam profile. So we decided to use a wire scanner. And we also measured beam damp current and beam macro pulse shape with a current transformer. Before showing these experimental results, let me show some details on the wire scanner. This wire scanner is based on the linear movement of a copper wire in 0.6 millimeter diameter at the speed of 0.39 millimeter per second by 100 millimeter stroke. The copper wire is mounted on an aluminum fork with a gap of 26 millimeter, and the secondary electron emission current is measured with the current meter. The position of the wire is measured with a linear potentiometer and is recorded on ADC together with the secondary electron current. We installed these wire scanners in the middle between quadrupoles after the bending magnet. And please be aware that the electron beam direction is from right to left in this slide. And we have two wire scanners in the return arc, and the upper wire scanner called wire one is used for the efficiency measurement. And the other wire is installed at the symmetrical position to the wire one about the middle of the return arc. And the dispersion function at the wire is calculated at 0.4 meter. Now, these are the experimental results. And this is the FEL power detuning curve. And FEL power increases, changes as a function of cavity detuning length. And we set the detuning length, zero micron detuning length, where the FEL power is maximum in this slide. And all the measurements were performed in 230 microsecond macro pulse, unless otherwise stated. And in this case, the beam current is 18.5 microamps, and that corresponds to 8 milliamps during the macro pulse. And we get 0.7 kilowatt power during the macro pulse, peak power. And this figure shows the beam profiles measured with wire scanner one for several detuning lengths. And the vertical axis shows the secondary emission current, electron current, and the polarity of current is, of course, positive. And the horizontal axis shows the wire position, and the energy increases from left to right in this figure. And blue dotted line shows the beam profile without raising, and red solid line shows the beam profile where the FEL power is maximum. The beam profile changes as a function of cavity detuning length. And we can get the FEL efficiency from the shift of the beam energy centroid. from the position without raising. If the dispersion function is known, the dispersion function at the wire scanner is calibrated at 0.38 meter from measurements of beam shifts with respect to the fast bend, with respect to the bending magnet field, and it's similar to the calculation. And this black dotted black solid line shows the FL power during the wire scan, and the power does not change so much. This figure shows the FL efficiency and FL power as a function of cavity detuning length. And these open squares are efficiencies obtained from the beam profiles shown in the previous slide. The calibration from the beam power to the efficiency is performed at larger detuning lengths. The peak efficiency is estimated to be 2.8% in this case. But we can't measure the efficiency higher than 2% in this wire scanner system, because the wire scanner is installed downstream of the quadrupole magnet, where the dispersion is maximum. The sharp edge observed in the beam profiles around minus 34 millimeters represents the beam loss of low energy electrons when the FL efficiency is high. But this amount of beam loss is considered to be small, as described in the following. The area of beam profile should be proportional to the incident beam electron current through the wire or through the arc. These red crosses show the secondary emission electron current integrated along the wire position and as a function of cavity detuning length. And the beam current is about 1.5 microamps independently of the cavity detuning length. And this result shows beam loss due to the high FL efficiency is small, indicates that the beam loss due to the high FL efficiency is small. And we can get secondary electron production rate from production rate is 8% from this data, from the integrated current of 1.5 microamps divided by the beam current, instant beam current of 18.5 microamps. And we can also get the beam loss due to the presence of wire is less than 5% from the peak secondary emission current of 0.08 microamps divided by integrated secondary emission current of 1.5 microamps. So this is very small, and this explains our former observations that FL power does not change during the wire scan so much. And this is a beam dump current, and beam dump current with respect to cavity detuning length should be same if the full energy recovery is established. But the beam dump current represented by dotted line decreases when the FL efficiency increases over 1%, and it drops by 20% at the highest FL efficiency. So this is a big problem for us now. And this beam loss may occur if the return arc is not achromatic, or if energy compression in the arc is not insufficient, or if energy acceptance of the damp is not large enough. So as a part of an effort to find the source of this beam loss, we measured beam macropulse profiles with a current transformer installed downstream of the return arc for several detuning lengths. This figure shows four current transformer signals for four different the tuning length. And the macro vertical axis shows the beam current, and horizontal axis is the macro pulse length. And macro pulse length remains almost unchanged when the FEL efficiency is low, but when the efficiency is higher than 2%, some beam loss are observed. And we also measured the beam profile with wire 2, this wire is at the symmetrical position to the wire 1, in order to check the achromaticity of the return arc. But we found very different beam profile shapes when the efficiency is higher than 1%. But the integrated beam current is almost the same as wire 1. So I guess the beam current is not lost in the return arc, but this beam achromaticity is lost somehow. So this beam loss problem remains unsolved, so we need to study about it more. Now let's move to the magnetic bunch compression in the first arc. High peak current electron bunch is indispensable to realize a high FEL oscillation. At JEA ERL, ballistic bunch compression had been before the five-cell SCA modules had been considered to play a major role in the bunch compression. Recently, we measured powers of CSR from three bending magnets in the first arc, and we found that the CSR power from the last bending magnet is much higher than remaining two. So this indicates that another bunch compression occurred in the first arc. So in order to confirm this magnetic bunch compression, we measured horizontal beam profiles with a wire scanner at the dispersive point in the first arc as a function of the last SCA module, last of the RF phase of the last SCA. We have installed this wire scanner just after the first bending arc, where the dispersion function is calculated at 0.5 meter, and M56 is through the return arc is calculated 0.6 meter. And this is the beam profile measured with wire 3. Wire 3 is this wire. And beam profiles measured with wire 3 with respect to the RF phase of the last SCA. Hereafter, I use the theta as the phase of the last SCA. And we set the theta equal 0 degree, where the FEL power is maximum. You can see that when the FEL power is maximum, the energy spread is larger than those at other phases. And this black dotted line shows the FEL power during the scan. And we observed some beam loss when the wire scanner goes through the beam centroid. And this beam loss is estimated, is measured at 10%, is agree well with the beam loss due to the presence of the wire, which is calculated from the peak secondary emission current divided by integrated secondary emission current of 1.4 microamps. And we can get FWHM energy spread and the beam centroid beam and the beam centroid energy shift and the integrated current as a function of the phase of the last SCA. And they are summarized in this figure. And the horizontal axis shows the phase of the last SCA. The energy spread represented by the dotted line is 1.5% when the FL power is maximum, but it decreases down to 0.8% when the theta equal minus 12 degree. And the beam centroid energy increases gradually with decreasing phase, and the energy difference between 0 degree and minus 10 degree is about 0.8%. And these results indicate that this phase at the FL, where FL power is maximum, is 10 degree of crest of the last SCA module. And this blue dotted dashed line is shows the integrated current, and it increases gradually with decreasing phase, and the increase is about 20%. It's about 20% when the theta equal minus 17 degree. So this means that the beam low energy electrons arising from the off crest acceleration are lost at the beam duct in the fast bending magnet in the fast arc. We have also measured temporal profiles at the undulator center. So the beam's arrival time shift changes because of the M5 beam arrival time shifts as a function of the phase of the last SCA because of the M56 from the accelerator exit to the undulator center. We can measure temporal profiles for several phases, and we can get FWHM pulse length and arrival time as a function of theta. This figure shows this blue dotted line shows bunch lengths, FWHM bunch lengths, and so FWHM bunch length is shortest when the FL power is maximum. This shows that high peak current is important for high power, high efficiency FL, and that solid line shows the arrival time difference, and there is 10 picosec difference between theta equal 0 degree and theta equal minus 10 degree. And remember that we got 0.8% energy difference between 0 degree and minus 10 degrees. From these results, we can get M56 equal 0.38 meter from these measurements. This is equal to the calculation within a factor 2. And before summarizing my talk, I'd like to show some posters in this conference. There are four posters, and they are presented this evening, this afternoon poster session. And two posters are about the beam current doubling and RF control improvement of RF low-level RF controller. And this one by Dr. Ijima is about the development of FROG for measurement of correlation between time and frequency of chaffed FL. And this one by Dr. Nishitani presents a poster about JEA photocathode DC gun for an ERL injector. And I'd like to summarize my talk. We have doubled the electron bunch repetition rate by upgrading the gun grid parser, and also we increased the energy acceptance of the return arc to 15%, and we achieved 0.7 kilowatt FL oscillation during 230 microsecond macro pulse, and we got FEL extraction efficiency about 2.8% with a wire scanner system. We have found the magnetic bunch compression in the first arc is indispensable to achieve the high FEL efficiency. And we will continue our this experimental study on the beam dynamics in the triple bend achromatic arc and the high efficiency FEL oscillation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that overview. And the paper is open for comments or questions. Nikolai, in the front here.
I did not understand. When you increase your acceptance from this 7% to 15%, did you feel some improvement in the transmission of current?
Yes.
What is the number of decreasing of current losses?
Now the beam decrease is about 20%, but before upgrading, it's more than factor 2 larger than this is after improvement.
So the losses were, you can say that significant losses were in the band, in this?
You mean the loss in the return arc?
Yeah.
I guess the loss in the return arc is very small right now. Because the beam current measured with a wire scanner is almost constant as a function of cavity detuning length. So,
the question is where there are main losses in the band or at the very end near the beam dump at very low energy. I mean, where the losses take place.
That is what I want to understand too. So I try to measure some. Right now, so up to now, we measure the beam profile just after the return arc, and we have seen some beam loss occurs when the FEL efficiency is higher than 2%, and we need to quantitatively estimate the beam loss, but. And also, I have a plan to install this wire scanner system between the SCAs, main SCA module, to measure the beam loss as a function of cavity detuning length to estimate how much lost before the in the middle between accelerators. And we have some plans, but not yet done.
And near the beam dump?
Yeah, it might be a problem, but we need to insert some viewing device, and we don't have now. So, now progress.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Still time for another question, if there is one. Steve?
Nobuyuki, the power that you get is about 700 watts, and if you take 2.8% of 8 milliamps at 17 MeV, you get more like 3.8 kilowatts. Do you really believe that your output coupling efficiency is only about 20%? Are you really getting that small a fraction out through the hole?
The estimation is, in my estimation, the coupling efficiency is 28%, and which is similar to the one obtained without energy recovery. So 28% is so small?
It's closer.
and so we need to check the efficiency repeatedly to confirm these measurements, but
Was there one more here? Peter.
Looking at this diagram, I mean, I could not really understand where this sharp edge came from. If it is the energy acceptance of the arc, then this would boil down to 9% energy acceptance. Do you have an explanation for this sharp edge?
Sharp edge is this wire scanner is installed downstream of the focusing quadrupole, where the dispersion is maximum. And I believe the beam loss occurs at the first quadrupole. So this sharp edge means the beam acceptance of at the first quadrupole magnet. It's in the first estimation, the energy acceptance of the arc is 15%, but this measurement, in this measurement, it dispersion function is 0.38 meter, and maybe 9% or something like that.
Okay, I think we should thank the speaker again.